If you desire to read along with me, our scripture reading this morning will be taken from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. For though by time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not the solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil.
Thank you, Brother Phil, for that reading from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, serving as our lesson text this morning in the subject of practicing discernment, which is what you see vividly portrayed for you in verse 14 of our text today. You might remember that on several different occasions, the Lord had an expression as he was teaching his listeners something similar to or exactly like what's recorded in Luke 8 and verse 18. So take care how you listen. And then also in Mark 4, 23 and 24, for the emphasis of the same point, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. Several different times during the preaching of Jesus, he admonished his listeners to be very careful about how they hear his teaching. Jesus knew that there would be many false Christs, many false apostles that would mislead people. Matthew 24 and verse 24. Lack of discernment often accounts for the failure of those in the pews of churches across this country to realize the full import of unsound teaching from various pulpits. We had a lesson recently stressing the importance of knowing your Bible. We directed that particularly to our young people, but the point is also very important for every listener. Know your Bible. I found this interesting story that illustrates a point, I think. A brilliant modernistic preacher who had pleased his audience with flowery oratory and beautiful, pointless comments, as he discoursed glibly of the importance of breadth of view and the danger of bigoted opinions, was bidding farewell to his congregation. He was about to leave them for a new place. One of his young men approached him and said, "Preacher, I'm so sorry we're losing you. Before you came, I was one who did not care for God, man, or the devil. But through your delightful sermons, I have learned to love them all." Discernment. How very important is it? Thank you for being in our assembly today to worship God. Thank you for your interest in spiritual things. And thank you for following along as we look into God's Word and consider some very important matters that deal with souls of men and women. What is the meaning of the word discernment? It is a distinguishing or a clear discrimination of something, discerning or judging something. It is to find an authentic and valuable thing. And also in finding that authentic and valuable thing, being able to recognize the counterfeit. To see beneath the surface of events, through the illusions, and into what is real and what is true. To see and identify by noting differences such as distinguishing good from evil, or right from wrong, or truth from error. which is what we are primarily concerned about today. It is not choosing between the pleasant and the unpleasant. It is choosing between good and bad. What may be pleasant may be bad. And what may be unpleasant may be very good. It's not choosing that which necessarily pleases me that's important, but choosing what's best for me. And ultimately, what is best for God and what is best for His cause, what is best for His people, what is best for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people go on in sin and they fail to do what is good with the very weak excuse that they don't see any harm in certain things or they don't see any good in other things. One who has no knowledge of poisons may not really, by looking through a clear vial of liquid, see any harm, but it is deadly. One falls into sins of weakness because he has not grown in character. One falls into sins of ignorance because he has not grown in knowledge. Discernment is very, very important. In our text of verse 14, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have trained their senses to discern good and evil. Because of practice, or by reason of use, in the King James Version and the American Standard Version, these have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The original word means by reason of practice or by reason of habit. And so, by practice is a good translation of the thought there. One becomes good at something by practice. When we sign our young children up for piano lessons, when they first start, we need to plug our ears, don't we? Because the notes that they play on the piano are not very sweet sounding to the ear. With practice, they get better and better and better. Then we can take those earplugs out and enjoy what they play. You become good at something by practice, don't you? Continued application of the standard of God in the life of the Christian is something that really enables him to make the right choices, to discern between good and evil, to discern properly, to discern the way that God would have us discern things in this life. The one who is a new Christian can apply the simple truths of the first principles of the gospel of Christ, as in the context shows. But as he grows in Christ, gaining more and more maturity and more knowledge and understanding, making application as he goes along, he increases and sharpens his skill at being able to see evil in something that may look good, or the good in something that may look evil. The recipients of the book of Hebrews had failed in this thing. And that's why the writer wrote to them in the way that he did. The spiritual growth of the recipients of the letter was not only stunted, but they had returned to an infancy in their spiritual lives that was not good at all. For the good of the soul, we need to develop the habit of weighing matters carefully. What is good and what is evil? And what standard do we use? And of course, the Christian uses God's Word to describe what is good and what is evil. A lot of trouble can be prevented. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, as grandmother used to say. We have to feed on the Word of God, though, according to our text. In that text, we can see the normal process of growth, the babe to the more mature, that normal process. Secondly, that inability to understand after having been babes for such a number of years is really an indication that your growth has slowed or stopped or not progressed as it should to lead you to maturity. And also in the passage, you see the value of continued study in enabling one to attain to a level of good, solid decision-making on a spiritual basis, to discern between things that are good and things that are evil. Most people are against any attempt whatsoever to classify spiritual things as good or evil. To them, nearly all practices that are moral are good, and almost all religious teachings are right. You don't find that concept in God's Word, though. Some will use a flexible standard based on the individual of what is right and what is wrong. If I feel it's right, it must be right, or it must be right for me. If I feel that it is wrong, it must be wrong, or it must be wrong for me. There's no absolute standard of right and wrong in that case, and every person really becomes his own God, making decision on the basis of how I feel or how I view things, situations, things in life. I make that decision based on the standard of my own thinking. That puts me in a position of God. And I close my ears to what God said is right and wrong, and I establish my own standard of what is right and what is wrong. Well, what is wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? If that principle were true, no one could ever choose to do evil if he thought within his own mind that he was doing right. And so there wouldn't be any evil. Is that okay with God? Well, based on Proverbs 14 and verse 12, it is not. Because in that passage, the holy record of God says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Those are serious words. To me, if I contemplate making my choices in life between right and wrong based on how I feel or what I believe at the moment, some ways are good and some ways are evil. Some things are good and other things are evil. And God says it's good or God says it's evil. And I must adopt His standard. Thinking and acting that it is good does not make evil a good thing. God must tell us. He must make the definition for us. Isaiah wrote a long time ago and said, "Woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who substitute darkness for light, and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." This is not a new problem in our day. Throwing away the standard of God and deciding what is right or what is wrong on the basis of how I feel or the way I want to think, that's not a new practice at all. The right or wrong of a thing is not just a matter of personal thinking. Truth and right are facts presented in Scripture, and one must change his mind to fit those facts rather than changing the facts to fit his mind. It's more than futile to try to change right to fit oneself. It's really an affront to God for us to do that. It's disrespectful to God. The Bible plainly speaks about good and evil in so many different ways. It talks about a good man And it defines what that is in several different passages, but just one is listed on the chart for you so that you can see that here is a scripture reference that talks about someone being a good man. But there are other scripture references that talk about someone being an evil man. God tells us what is good and what is evil in men, just as he does in the deeds of men, their works. He talks about good works. Jesus talked about good works in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And the Bible also talks about evil works or evil deeds. Good words that people speak. Evil words that people speak. They're clearly defined in God's Word. What is the good path that I must be on in this life? And how is it different from the evil path or the evil way in this life? We see good advice given in the book of Proverbs, and we see evil counsel, evil advice in the pages of God's Word. We see that it's important for a person to have a good reputation and a good name in society. But we also see people described for us in the pages of God's book who don't have a very good reputation at all. As a matter of fact, they have a wicked or evil reputation and an evil name. We see fruit described as good fruit in the pages of God's Word, and we also see evil fruit. And fruit proceeds from a heart that is good, and bad things come out of a heart that is evil. We see that God's Word very clearly describe and define those distinctions for us. Good morals versus evil dealings. A good report versus an evil report. Many passages of Scripture clearly show us God's dividing line is already there. We don't need to go to the trouble of deciding where that dividing line is in becoming people who are able to discern between good and evil. God has already decided that for us. All that we need to do is learn what He says about it. Learn His definition of what is good and what is evil. And then strive to do the good and avoid the evil. The Bible has several different examples of people who failed in the area of discernment, deciding between what is good and what is evil. The young prophet who was deceived by a lie in 1 Kings chapter 13. He made a bad mistake in discernment. He knew better. He knew he should have strictly listened to exactly what God told him. But some way along the way, he lost that zeal for exactly what God said, and he was deceived. The foolish rich man in Luke 12, of whom the Lord said, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?" Martha in Luke 10, who was distracted with all of her preparations and didn't choose the good part of sitting at the feet and listening to the teaching of Jesus. The Pharisees in Matthew 23, among other this place and many other places, Jesus said of them, "You tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." What a bad mistake in discernment was characteristic of those religious leaders. And the woman taken in adultery. Those who brought to Jesus the woman taken in adultery in John 8, verses 3 through 11. They brought this woman to the Lord demanding that she should be stoned. They made some mistakes, though. They didn't bother to bring the man who was guilty of the same crime. They made a spectacle by setting her in the midst of the crowd. They did not care whom they hurt, just so they carried out their point. They beheld the sin in another's life but really fail to see the sin in their own lives. What a mistake in discernment. As far as God's view is concerned, they pointed to another's sins in an effort to feel better about themselves. Jesus, of course, discerned the matter perfectly, appropriately, righteously, by showing more concern for the woman's future than her past. The Bible has other examples showing where people failed in discernment. Our Lord put those in His sacred book for a reason, for us to learn from those examples of how to discern properly between good and evil. Maybe some guideposts for wise discernment would be something worthy of our consideration for a moment. What about the guidepost of faith? Consider the choice of Moses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, his faith saw him through so that he could view situations as they really were and as they were in truth and as God viewed them, and being able to discern between what may have been good, but what was better. By faith, he chose what was better. He was able to discern, and he made an appropriate, right decision based on his ability to discern. Faith is important. So is hope. This also influenced Moses. He considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Do you see his discernment in that? What will provide me with greater riches? Material wealth of Egypt? Or the promises that God has promised if I am faithful to Him? He was able to discern correctly, and he made the right decision. And he hoped for the reward that God had promised. Love is another guidepost that's helpful. Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." It takes discernment to do that, doesn't it? Paul wrote to Timothy and talked about situations that would happen where people would be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And he told Timothy specifically in 2 Timothy chapter 3, avoid such men as these. Avoid the men who habitually make mistakes in discernment. They won't lead you in the right way. It's important for you to discern correctly, and you'll do that if you love God above all. Courage is another thing that's important in surely helping us to make right decisions. Matthew 10 and verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that takes a great deal of appropriate discernment in my heart for me to give the proper fear to the corresponding one that my fear should go to. Doesn't it? Doesn't that require sharp discernment to be able to do that? If we know how bad the results will be, isn't that some measure of incentive in discerning correctly what the right way is? I certainly don't want to be lost in a devil's hell. I must discern correctly who to fear. Fear God. He is the one who will determine my ultimate destiny. King Saul failed to discern properly because he feared people. How many people are there today that know the right path but hesitate or don't choose to go down the right path because of what others might do or say? 1 Samuel 15 and verse 24, "Then Saul said to Samuel, the prophet of God, 'I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice.'" That could be said of so many, so very many today, couldn't it? It takes courage to make the right decision and to stand by the right decision in the face of opposition. Caution is something that's very necessary when thinking about discerning between good and evil. The prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. Solomon said in Proverbs 22 and verse 3, verse 5 of that chapter, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them." Remember, what looks good may not be good at all. What appears to be sweet may indeed be bitter. The proverb writer also said, "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself." That has discernment written all over it, doesn't it? We must discern. Who is a hot-headed person? Who cannot control his anger? That takes our ability to discern that in someone else. And then we make the decision, stay away from it. Stay away from it. Caution is very, very important. Well, you would naturally assume that to discern something correctly would involve a measure of investigation, wouldn't you? Never reach a decision of consequence without fully investigating the facts. What if Pilate, for example, had fully investigated the facts? Would he have agreed to hand Jesus over to the Jews to be crucified? Had Felix fully investigated? Had Felix fully discerned and given proper weight to the words that were spoken to him? He would not have become frightened, sending Paul away because he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come in Acts 24 and verse 25. Just as we are doing today, discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come in terms of making discernment characteristic in our lives between good and evil. Have all the facts before condemning others or plotting a course for yourself is very important in the matter of discernment. The chief captain almost made a grave mistake in preparing Paul for scourging a man who was a Roman citizen, of whom it was unlawful to scourge without a condemnation in due process of law. Acts 22 and verse 25. Deal with knowledge instead of presumption or gossip or hearsay or rumors. Proverbs 13, "A righteous man hates falsehood, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. Righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner." It takes discernment. Remember, there are three sides to every story that we talked about recently. Do nothing by prejudice. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ and of His chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias." Doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. It takes discernment to do that, to live that way, to think that way, to behave that way. Truly, truly, it takes discernment to do that. Of course, it's our duty to discern between good and evil. as our scripture reference, our text for our lesson this morning admonishes every Christian to do. Of course, we've got to throw out the evil and retain the good. Doesn't do us any good to discern properly if we refuse to embrace the good and if we don't reject the evil. Remembering that our souls are at stake would help us. Remembering that the growth and development of God's kingdom on this earth is at stake, that surely would help us. I want to close with this quote from Jay Stoll in his book Fan the Flame, which was written in 1986. Here's what he says. Discernment in Scripture is the skill that enables us to differentiate. And that's what we've been talking about this morning. Skill that enables us to differentiate. He goes on to say, it is the ability to see issues clearly. We desperately need to cultivate this spiritual skill that will enable us to know right from wrong. We must be prepared to distinguish light from darkness, truth from error, best from better, righteousness from unrighteousness, purity from defilement, and principles from pragmatics. And that's a pretty good summary of what we've been talking about this morning. The subject of discernment between good and evil. How good are you at discernment? How have you practiced discernment? Have you practiced discernment? That's the only way that you get better and better and better at discernment. What about you today? Have you discerned enough from the Word of God to know that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, with all of your heart? If you have, in that belief, you'll be willing to do anything that He says for you to do in order for you to enjoy the remission of your sins. And His Word is very clear and very simple. As a believer, to confess Him before men, to not be ashamed of Him, so that He won't be ashamed of me in judgment. Confess Him before men. Repent of sins. Change your life. Don't live for self or sin any longer. Live for God. Put God first in your life. Repent of sins. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins, just like Saul was at the hands of Ananias. Just like the other cases of conversion in the book of Acts. They were baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Acts 22 and verse 16. As Paul said, raised to walk in newness of life in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. If we can help you with that today, we would rejoice along with the angels in heaven at your obedience to the gospel of Christ. If we can help you in another spiritual way, we'll be happy to do that too. If you'll come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.